Yep, good morning, church. It's always good to see all of you in the house of the Lord, yeah? Especially on the Lord's Day, yep. And, you know, the psalmist declared that a day in the house of the Lord is better than 1,000 elsewhere, yeah? And he also continued to declare and proclaim that blessed are those who are found dwelling in the house of the Lord. Yep. So we are all blessed, for we serve indeed a truly awesome and mighty God. Yeah. So yeah, let's pray. Father, indeed, we are so privileged and thankful to have you as our Heavenly Father. And we thank you that indeed you are worthy to receive all glory, all honor, and all praise. And even as we turn to your word, we ask that you keep us in this mode of worship and adoration. At the same time, we ask that you open the eyes of our heart, even as we learn at the foot of Jesus, so that we can be transformed to be more and more like Jesus. And all this, we pray in the name of our precious Lord. Amen. So good to see all of you, all right? Now, the last time I was here, I remember throwing a challenge, the one-hour challenge. Still remember that? No? Oh, if you are still in the race, that was the 1 hour of communion with our Lord through His Word. Okay, if you have dropped off along the way, encourage you to pick it up again and move on. I know of a certain life group that was so sporting that took up this challenge as a group. And not only that, every week when they come together, they share on what they have learned from the 1 hour a day of communion with the Lord through His Word. It has been amazing. Yep. And, okay, we are now in a marathon series, okay, going through the book of Romans. This will take us about 6 months to complete. I believe it's the longest that our church has ever attempted, okay, but I think I can assure everybody that every single minute you spend on this this book of Romans is certainly worth your investment. So, yeah, just for comparison, there's a famous preacher by the name of Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. He was the minister of Westminster Chapel, right in the heart of London. And he served that church for 30 years. And out of 30 years, he preached the book of Romans for 13 years in one stretch, week after week, month after month, year after year, for 13 years on the book of Romans alone. There must be something in that book, right? So, now, and this is what he says, and Dr. Lloyd-Jones' hope for these sermons on the book of Romans was that they will not only help Christian people to understand more clearly the great doctrine of our faith, but that they will also fill them with the joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, and then bring them into a condition in which they will be lost in words, in love, and praise. Now, I know that the book of Romans is hard and challenging to go through. Okay? You know, just the first three chapters is so full of gloom and doom, I would say, about mankind. But if you persevere and move on to the next few chapters, you can see a certain glimmers of light and hope shining through. And by the time you reach chapter 8, that's where you will see and experience joy unspeakable and full of glory. All right, so take the opportunity and master this book so that we can really know and strengthen our faith on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now today, we are going to cover Romans chapter 3, entitled The Righteousness of God Revealed. And we are going to look at three aspects: sin of man, faithfulness of God, and the righteousness of God. Now, here are some of life's biggest questions. Okay? Now, can a man stand before God and live? Okay? And how can a man become right with God? And can I, a sinner, frail and probably unimportant, how can I achieve rightness with God? Okay, and how can man escape the judgment of God? Those are the universal questions that mankind has been asking, you know, for a long, long time. And not only that, every religion in this world, be it Judaism, Buddhism, Hinduism, Taoist, Shintoist, they all ask the same universal questions. How can I earn my rightness before this Almighty and then escape His judgment on that day? And also that when I die, I will end up in heaven with Him. Those are the universal question, okay, that almost every human being will be asking, has been asking. But did you know that all religion will give the same answer? And it is something like this, that you earn, okay, your way through. Your rightness with God is achieved through the work, the deeds, and all the merits and ceremony of the that is required. Okay. Now this is the what we call achieving righteousness through the deeds of the law, or the way of the law. Now, so for those of us who seek God through this path, we have some bad news for you, okay? Now, more than bad news, okay, it is something quite tragic and non-reversible. We shall look at Romans 3, verse 10 to 18, that give us the pronouncement, okay, towards mankind. Now, Romans 3, 10 to 18. Now, as it is written, none is righteous. No, not one. No one understand. No one seek God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless, and no one does good. Not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongue to deceive. The venom of apes is under their lips. Apes is a certain kind of viper snake commonly found in Egypt and many parts of the Middle East. And their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their path are ruin and misery. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. No one is righteous, declared the word here. No one understand, no one seek God, and there is no fear of God in any of mankind. You see, how dark, how gloom can it be? And this is the word of God declaring it. As you know, the word of God just tell the truth as it is. So, what happened, and what's going on, and why? And there's only one word to describe it. The sin of man. The sin of man. Now, ever since Adam fell, okay, sin has ruled the world and destroyed it. And not only that, the impact and effect of sin is really devastating, and it's just horrible and it's total. Okay, it impacts the mind, the soul, the spirit, and the body of mankind, and then it spills over to all creations. That's how bad it is. And Romans chapter 1 tells us that as man departed further and further from God, he became more and more corrupted. Okay, and he went into all kinds of sexual perversions, violence, and commit all kinds of wickedness and evils. Now, it's so bad that in Romans chapter 1, it was described that God forsake mankind three times. Three times. And that basically spell the doom and the end of mankind. Now, and at the same time, all the religions of the world do not have answer for him. It cannot save him. All right, and this verse says it all. For by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. Now, if the Bible were to end right here, Romans 3, verse 20, that truly is the end. Full stop or kaput, that's it. Yeah, that's it. But thank God we all know that there is Romans chapter 3, verse 21 and beyond. And what that it says here. But now, and that's a good word to hear, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested or revealed apart from the law. Okay? Now, truly thank God that even in the midst of man's depravity and man's evil and wickedness, okay, we have a faithful God who grants us his righteousness as a free gift. All right? You know, the faithlessness of man does not nullify the faithfulness of God. This is in Romans chapter 3, verse 3, says that. And God also keep all his words, his promises, and his covenant, because he is God and he is not man. Now, all the covenant and promises that he has with from Adam to Noah to Moses to David, he keep and fulfilled every single one of them. So indeed, we have a God who changes not, who is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Okay, and for the Lord is good, as the psalmist says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, and his faithfulness is unto all generations. How thankful and grateful all human race should be. Okay, so let's take a closer look, okay, on what good news this righteousness of God revealed, brought upon human race. Now, for this, we will be looking at the next few verses, 21 to 26, and this is the all-important verses that we must know by heart. Okay, I'll read to you. 3:21 to 22, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophet bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus for all who believed. For there is no distinction, all right? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have fall short and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. And this was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he has passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Now that is the good news, and that is the gospel in a nutshell. Okay? The righteousness of God revealed. Yeah? Okay, the righteousness of God is given, okay, to anyone who receives it through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, this is pure grace with no contribution from the work of man. All right? Now, this is also the greatest cry of the 16th century Reformation of the church, right, led by Martin Luther and actually many of those before him and after him. Remember this word? Sola fede, sola gratias, and sola Christus. Through faith alone, by grace alone, and in Christ alone. That is the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Now let's unpack and see a little bit in detail what this righteousness is all about. Okay, to start with, the Greek word's definition of righteousness is this: to put right with, okay, or to cause to be in a right relationship with. In other words, this righteousness is making us right with God, and at the same time, he put us in a right relationship with God. And how marvelous is that? Okay? We are going to look at four aspects of this righteousness. Righteousness that is apart from the law, righteousness that is acquired through faith, and righteousness that is given freely to all by grace. All right? And that, but it's also a righteousness that comes with a great price. Righteousness apart from the law. Now, why does it have to be apart from the law? Now, the law does not help. Not only that, the law inflame, incite, and stir up the sin that is in us. Okay? Now, don't get me wrong. The law is holy and just. But it is sin in us that gets us into trouble with the law. Now, let me illustrate the current hot topic in the Klang Valley and in Penang. Any guess? Not durian, although I like to say, it's durian, but it's not miyok. No, sorry, traffic jam and traffic light. I don't know why, it's now gotten worse than before the pandemic. All right, now, traffic light. So green light is? Go. Yellow light? Go faster. Red light? Go anyway. And you know what? We literally see this all happening during the pandemic, especially from all the delivery motorbike. You know, those that carry a green bag or a red bag at the back, right? They're just, it's as though they are colorblind. It's just zoom through every single time. But guess what? If there is no traffic law or regulations, none of these people will be guilty, and they cannot be charged if there is no such a law. And then we can park anywhere we like, right? We can, zoom past traffic light as often as we like. And also, you can probably drive your car happily to the maximum of your car's capability, maybe 260, 300 kilometers. You can do all this, and you are still not guilty, and you cannot be charged for there is no law against that. Now, of course, we know that in Malaysia, we do have traffic law, and so you will be charged accordingly. Now, take the illustration a bit more. Now, in the North-South Highway, we have many speed camera installed. All right, and if you drive past any of these and your speed exceeds 110 limit, camera will capture and you will get your summon in no time. Right, that's how the law works. And now let's imagine that you are a busy man and you travel past the same point 10 times in the day and you exceed the speed limit each time. The camera will click 10 times and you will receive your summon. That's how the law works. But you know, did you know that whether there is a camera or not, as long as you exceed the speed limit, you are already guilty. You have broken the law and you are already guilty. Whether you are caught or not, that's a separate matter. Yeah, that's how the law works. It is cold, it is harsh, but it's just. Okay, let me take it a bit further. Now, the entire North-South Highway, which is about, 800 kilometers, it's all covered by speed camera, every square inch. Okay, then what happened? It doesn't matter where you are, which part of the highway, as long as you exceed the speed limit, you have sinned against the law, and you are guilty and charged. Okay? Right? It's actually quite possible now, with all the advanced technology, you can actually cover the entire highway with sensor and speed camera, and then we will know exactly what is living under the law is like. Each time you break the law, you have sinned against it, and you are already guilty. Now, that is only the traffic law. In Malaysia, the last I count, we have 744 enacted law for all of us to abide. Okay, so if you are free, you know, and have time, you can start counting the number of violations you have against all those laws. And I can guarantee you that it is too many to count. Now, the same principle here, that is, you know, the law of the land, the same principle, which is, as long as you break the law, you are guilty, okay, applies to the law of God. Applies to the law of God. Okay? And Romans 1, 2, and 3 already tell us that our sins is just too numerous to be counted. And they pile up one after another, after another, after another, just waiting for the judgment, okay, and the wrath of God. Now you see why that it has to be apart from the law? It's so obvious, right? And yet, look around the world today. Every single religion that is man-made follow after this way. Deeds, merits, good works to achieve rightness before God. It's an impossible task. Okay, let's move on. Now, righteousness that is acquired through faith. Now, we saw that the manifested righteousness of God is from God and has nothing to do with human contribution at all. Okay, because it cannot be attained through work, and for no human being has that kind of capability at all. So it comes through faith. And what is faith then? Well, again, the Greek translation here says that Greek is to have confidence and complete trust in God very simple, and also the scripture gives us a few indications too. Romans 4:5, and to the one who does not work, but believe in him who justified the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness, faith that believed. And Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. All right, and that's the faith that justified. And then a famous verse in Ephesians 2:8-9 that all of us must know. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of work. Faith that saved by grace. So we have a faith that believed, a faith that justified, and the faith that saved by grace. Now, faith then is actually a medium or an instrument by which we receive the gift of God's righteousness. Now, it is simply by believing, okay? It's a belief that gives glory to God. It's a belief that what God promises in the gospel, he will carry out. Such a belief glorified God. Okay? And in doing so, we are putting our trust in Christ. So simply put, faith is believing. Okay? It is true for Abraham, Moses, David. It is true for everyone. Okay? So this righteousness is acquired through faith. And thirdly, we have a righteousness that is given freely to all by grace. Now, these are the most beautiful words to see, to hear, to listen. That it is given freely to all by grace. No exceptions, no condition. It is given free to all. Now, this is also the heart of the gospel itself. It is a gift of grace, with no human contribution to it, absolutely none at all. Okay, it is like undeserved favor and unearned kindness, right? Though we have not earned it, okay, and yet God counted it upon us as though we are righteous when we receive this free gift. Talking about free gift, it's time to let the rabbit out of the bag. Well, I received this wonderful pack during the wedding dinner of Peter and Chi Yi. It's put together with full of love, care, and awe. Now, inside there, it's a nice picture of the couple. Okay. And there's also a very useful green bag with their name and boss on it and the words in the verse that say, we love because he first loved first. All right. And there was also a mysterious box here. And finally, a nice pack of chocolate. And it says, Hilton, it's so yummy. And it's all gone now. All I have to do, I accept it, receive it, and it's mine. Such is the grace of God, the righteousness of God given freely to all by grace for us to receive, and it's yours. Lastly, righteousness that costs a great price. There's no doubt that it costs you and me absolutely nothing, but so you know that it costs the giver of the gift everything. They paid a heavy price for it. Now, let's find out what was the price and who paid for it and why. Now, the answer is all here. Romans 3:24b to 25a. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. Now, redemption means to ransom or to buy back through the paying of a certain price. Okay, now God literally have to ransom us or redeem us from himself. Now, why? He redeemed us from his judgment and wrath. Okay, for all the violation and sin against the law. Okay, now, and then he put us in his favor. Then the question is, who would pay the price for us? Now, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So yes, when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, he's the one who redeemed us. When he was crucified on the cross, and later he died on the cross. All right, so he's the one that paid the price for all of us. Now, not only that, John 3:16 tells us this, that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son. So, not just the Lord, but the Father and the Son pay a tremendous price to redeem us, okay, from the judgment of the law because of our sin. Now, how can God do all this? Okay, is he right? Is he just? Let's find out. So the second part of this verse, God put forward a propitiation by his blood. And what does propitiation mean? It simply means to satisfy someone. So in this case, when God is propitiated, okay, God is satisfied, and his justice is satisfied. The legal requirement of the law is satisfied. And that is why we have this idea that God can blot out or forgive sin, because the legal requirement of the law has been met. And when Jesus died on the cross, okay, he perfectly fulfilled the required penalty or payment, okay, because of the law, because of sin. All right, so on the other hand, right, if the law was not satisfied and God proceeded to forgive sinner, guess what? We have an unjust God. And that is unthinkable. And not only that, we will still all be in our sin. But no, when Christ died on the cross, all the legal requirement, the penalty, the payment for redemption, everything has been fully satisfied. All right? God's wrath and judgment has been satisfied. The legal requirement of the law has been satisfied. And so, redemption can proceed, and we are set free from our sin. Now, this, okay, is the Christian gospel. It's the truth that saved, okay? And you receive this gift through faith and faith alone. Okay? So, sola fide, sola gratia, and solus Christus. Through faith alone, by grace alone, and in Christ alone. Now, well, basically, the message is end. And I do pray and hope that these sessions, okay, has clarified and helped in our understanding on the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And at the same time, that you would know how to share this gospel freely, even as we receive it as a gift freely, that we will also go out and share this gospel freely to everyone with confidence, now that you know this gospel. And for those of you online or otherwise who have not received this free gift of God, the righteousness of God, and you would want to, I would strongly encourage you to contact us. If you are here, speak to any of our members here or leaders, and we will show you the way. All right? Thank you, and God bless and keep you all.